For 25 years, from 1973 through 1997, an Italian priest named Father Stefano Gobbi said that he received locutions from the Blessed Mother. In these messages, she spoke of our times and reiterated the requests she made at Fatima. Although her messages are for everyone, in these messages, she particularly asks priests for greater holiness and to be more active in promoting consecration to her Immaculate Heart. Father Gobbi's spiritual director urged him to write down the messages that came to him. In due time, they were published with multiple imprimaturs as thousands of priests, bishops, and cardinals eagerly asked for translations in many languages. This recording is not professional and not for profit. Volunteer readers have undertaken to make these available as audio podcasts. You may purchase the book, To the Priests, Our Lady's Beloved Sons, at mmp-usa.net. Presented here are the messages from 1982, beginning January 1st to December 31st.
1982, I am a consoling mother. 240, I am the mother of consolation. January 1st, 1982, Feast of Mary, Mother of God. Today you are beginning a new year in the light of my divine maternity. On this first day, the Church invokes me as mother and asks that I extend my motherly protection to all. Today you also unite in asking God for the gift of peace, and you beg for it through the intercession of whom you call the Queen of Peace. Peace is the greatest gift of the Lord, which was lavished upon you appropriately on Christmas Day. The infant Jesus, whom you see so frail in the moment of his birth in Bethlehem, is the eternal Prince of Peace. His name is Peace, his gift is peace, his mission is that of bringing peace to all. Glory to God in the heights of heaven and peace on earth to men of goodwill. This is what the joyous angel sang about the crib on the night of his birth. Peace between God and men, and it was for this that the word of the Father became incarnate in my virginal womb, was born in Bethlehem and sacrificed himself on Calvary. Peace amongst all men, because you are all children of God, true brothers of Jesus and of each other. In living out your brotherhood lies the source of peace among men, because the gift of peace is found only on the road of love, which one journey by observing the laws of God and His commandments. In these we are taught to love God, ourselves and our neighbor. With these is built that harmony which is founded upon justice, upon truth, and upon love. As long as the God of peace is not accepted, but on the contrary, men continue obstinately to deny and reject him, they will not even be able to safeguard the demands of respect for humans and civil rights. If the laws of the Lord are not observed, but on the contrary, are more and more openly violated, humanity will run along the road of confusion, of injustice, of egoism, and of violence. This is the reason why humanity is menaced with war and suffering. How much suffering I see scattered over all the roadways of the world as this new year begins. The suffering of little ones who have no food or help, of youth abandoned and deluded, of men whose dignity is trampled upon and who are made into tools of domination and tyranny, of women who mourn over the destruction of their homes. Humanity is close to the danger of a new world war. How great is my anguish over that which awaits you, my poor children, so threatened by hunger, by war and hatred and by violence. Take shelter today under the mantle of your Immaculate Mother. Never, as in these times, have I felt the motherly need of bringing you comfort in your sorrow. Confidence in your discouragement, hope in your disillusionment, and safety in your tribulations. You will now be constantly aware of the consoling presence of your Heavenly Mother. It will become stronger as the sufferings you must undergo become greater, now that you are entering into the most painful period of great purification. I am the mother of consolation. You are becoming aware of my great comfort, which will give you courage and protection, especially as you heave through the bloody hours of the trial, which has been foretold by me for so long. And so I am covering you all today with my mantle. I am gathering you into the refuge of my immaculate heart. I am stirring up your confidence and spirit of filial abandonment, and I am giving you my blessing. The Light of Love and of Hope, February 2nd, 1982, Feast of the Presentation of the Child Jesus. Today I am gathering you all on the altar of my Immaculate Heart, dear son, scattered throughout every part of the world, and I am presenting you with love and joy in the temple of the Lord. Here you are offered to His glory. Here you are immolated for the salvation of all. For how long now have I been calling you to respond to my loving plan? As the hearts of men become closed because of the coldness of unbridled egoism, hatred, violence, and inability to love, I want the light of my motherly love to shine through you. You, my children, are being offered by me to the Lord in order to spread His light everywhere. Love all my children ever more and more with my own motherly tenderness. From among them, be especially kind and merciful to those who have lost their way, who are far from God, who are often the unconscious victims of sin and of evil, of corruption and of violence. Never so much as at the present time have I wanted to assist and save through you all my poor sinful children who are running the danger of being lost. Here you are also being immolated for the perfect glorification of God. This world is experiencing such a rebellion against God as has never before been experienced in the whole course of its history. It is running the danger of self-destruction and menaced with ruin and death. Beloved sons, let yourselves be offered on the altar of the Lord as docile and meek lambs for the salvation of the world. For this reason, I am bringing you all today into the temple of the Lord to present you as a hymn of perfect glorification to the Most Holy Trinity. Your little voices will become strong like the roar of a hurricane and join to the powerful victory cry of the cohorts of angels and saints. They will go out through all the world to proclaim everywhere, "Who is like God? Who is like God?" You have been called to live through pains and sufferings without number. Today, through you, I want to encourage and console my children. At the time of the great tempest, the mother wants to gather her children in her arms that they may be consoled. Together, we will live through the agonizing hours of the purification. Together, we will pray, suffer, and trust in the mercy of the Father. Together, we will be tested. Together, we will also be consoled. For the present, though, you, my beloved sons, I want to spread throughout the world the light of hope, of trust in God, and of my motherly consolation. The New Jerusalem, Jerusalem, March 5th, 1982, first Friday of the month. How often have I yearned to gather your children as a mother bird gathers her young under her wings. But you refused me. If only you had known the days of your peace. I hear again the sorrowful lament of my son Jesus. How often have I too, as your mother, called you to gather you under the wings of my motherly love, and now the days of the tribulation have come. My requests have not been accepted. My extraordinary interventions have been given no credence. An attempt has been made to nullify everything that I have done these years in order to meet your needs and free you from the dangers that hang over you. Just as in Jerusalem, all the prophets were put to death, just as in this city, the very Son of God, the Messiah promised and awaited for so many centuries, was rejected, outraged, and condemned, so also today in the Church, the new Israel of God, the salvific action of your mother, the heavenly prophetess of these last times is too often obstructed by silence and rejection. In so many ways have I spoken, but my words have not been hearkened to. In many ways I have manifested myself, but my signs have been given no credence. My interventions, even the most extraordinary, have been contested. O New Jerusalem, Church of Jesus, true Israel of God, how often have I yearned to gather all your children as a mother bird gathers her young, if you had known the days of your peace. But now great tribulations will come upon you. You will be buffeted by the wind of a tempest and a hurricane. Of the great works built in you by human pride, not a stone will remain upon a stone. O New Jerusalem, accept today my invitation to conversion and interior purification, and thus the new era of justice and holiness can shine forth upon you. Your light will spread to all the nations of the earth, and my son Jesus will establish in your midst the glorious reign of love and peace. Yes to the Gospel of Jesus, March 25th, 1982, Feast of the Annunciation of the Lord. Beloved sons, I want you at my side at that ineffable moment of my life when the Archangel Gabriel had announced to me that I had been chosen to become the Mother of the Word, the Son of God, the long-awaited Messiah. That which is known to you is nothing compared to that which your Heavenly Mother experienced at that moment. That which is narrated in the Gospel of Luke is part of an event which truly took place. It is a true account, not a legend or a literary form. The Archangel truly came to me, and his light, more resplendent than the sun, completely filled my poor little house in Nazareth. My eyes saw it, my ears heard his gentle voice. There was a real conversation between us. To my questions, there were his replies. To my interior apprehension, his serene and comforting explanations. It was also through his precious assistance that my mind was open to understand the plan of the Father, that my heart was open to receive the Word of God, and my life was united in a perfect manner to the Holy Spirit, whose most beloved spouse I became. And it was the Archangel who received my yes and placed it upon the heavenly altar for the perfect glorification of the Most Holy Trinity and for the greater joy of all the angelic hosts whose mistress and queen I became at that moment. Beloved sons, say your yes today to the will of the Father, your yes to the Gospel of the Son, your yes to the love of the Holy Spirit. In these times, the will of the Father is not being accomplished, and the action of the Holy Spirit is being impeded because the Gospel of Jesus is not being accepted. Often, a purely human interpretation is given to it, an interpretation which tends to exclude any supernatural intervention whatsoever. How many of its events are thus explained as legends or literary forms? Never before has the great mystery of God been given such a banal and paltry interpretation. As a result of this, the faith of many has become extinguished, and grave errors are spreading more and more throughout the church. You will remain in the true faith only if you will give your full assent to all that is said in the Gospel of Jesus. Announce it to the letter, live it to the letter. Be living gospels, and then the plan of the Father will be accomplished, and the fire of the love of the Holy Spirit will purify this world. Let your yes as obedient children be placed within the yes which your Heavenly Mother repeats continually to her God. Then you will understand the mysteries of the Kingdom of God, which are hidden from the proud and the mighty, but revealed to the little ones. This is how I found my son. April 9th, 1982, Good Friday. Draw near, beloved sons, to the fount of grace and mercy which gushes forth from the pierced heart of Jesus crucified. Today, let yourselves be led with me up Calvary, that we may live together through the painful and precious hours of his agony. He is nailed to the cross about midday, after having reached with great difficulty the summit of Golgotha. His body is crushed with suffering. The scourging has covered him with bleeding wounds. The crown of thorns has surrounded his head with rivulets of blood which trickle down and disfigure his face. His heart is overwhelmed by the immense weight of ingratitude. His eyes, so lively and penetrating, are now obscured by the veil of treason and abandonment. This is how I found my son on the road to Calvary, on the Friday of his passion. John is there with me, and beneath the cross, we live out together the tremendous hours of his agony. We see the nails transfix his hands and feet, his tormented body. We hear the impact of the cross in the earth, which causes him to start with pain. His moans of distress, his silent prayer, the loud cry to heaven, the throbbing of his heart as it gives its final beats. O my beloved ones, with me and with your brother John, live beneath the cross on which my son has been hung, and on which he is agonizing and dying out of love and for the salvation of all. This is how I find the church today, the mystical body of Jesus crucified. She too is climbing Calvary, carrying a heavy cross. She too is experiencing the hour of such abandonment and of betrayal. Her body also is being tormented by the scourges of the sins which strike at it and by sacrileges which open up deep wounds in it. And still the church looks upon this lost humanity with motherly and merciful eyes and trustingly makes her way to the summit of Golgotha for its crucifixion and agony. This is how I find my daughter today. I am close to her in the painful hour of her Good Friday, with John, who is living again in each of my beloved sons consecrated to my Immaculate Heart. Together, let us be willing to help her in this, her agony. Let us kiss her hands again transfixed. Let us cover with love her body again stripped bare. Let us pour balm upon her numerous wounds. Let us surround with prayer and hope the bloody moments of her crucifixion. In the sure expectation of her resurrection by the work of the Holy Spirit, she will again be completely renewed and know a wondrous splendor. For her too, the Good Friday of her Passion will certainly be followed by a joyous Easter and a new Pentecost of grace and life. Look to the Pope. Munich, Germany, May 13, 1982. Anniversary of the first apparition at Fatima. With the first of my beloved sons, Pope John Paul II, who has come today on a pilgrimage of love and prayer before my image in the very place where I appeared, I want you all to be spiritually united, gathered around your heavenly leader, the woman clothed in the sun. Look to the Pope, he gives an example of prayer. His life, which belongs entirely to me, has been molded by me in the spirit of incessant and trusting prayer. His voice penetrates heaven and, united with my maternal intercession, brings down, still today, a shower of graces upon this lost humanity. You two, together with the Pope, must form a strong barrier of prayer to obtain the conversion of sinners, a return to God on the part of many straying children, peace for this humanity which is so threatened, and a true and interior renewal of all the church. Pray often using the Holy Rosary, which I came here also to ask of you. If the most grave problems for the church and for the world have not yet been successfully resolved, despite all the human means which have been taken, this is a sign for you that you must now put all your trust in the power of prayer. He gives an example of fidelity. He is faithful to the mandate received through his succession to the chair of Peter. He is faithful to Jesus Christ, whom he announces by word and the witness of his life. Thus, the light which he spreads everywhere is one and the same with the light of the gospel. You must all be united with him in giving witness to the life of my son Jesus and in announcing faithfully the truth of his gospel. The Pope is often surrounded by a great void and by loneliness. His words are those of a prophet, but often they fall upon an immense desert. You must be a powerful echo of His word, which must be more and more propagated, listened to, and acted upon. Until this light is once again enkindled, walk behind Him in the secure wake of this great brilliance, because soon the darkness may become even greater upon the world and the church. He gives an example of fortitude. He is going forward everywhere without fear, with the power that comes from His great love as universal pastor and as vicar of my son Jesus. He fears neither criticism nor obstacles. He does not halt before threats and attempts upon His life. Led and defended by me, He proceeds along the way that I have pointed out to Him, like a trusting child that always allows itself to be led by the hand. And thus each day He climbs His painful Calvary, carrying a great cross for the good and the salvation of all. What He is now living through has already been foretold Him by me. Remain ever with Him, beloved sons, whom I am gathering from every part of the world into the refuge of my Immaculate Heart, and carry with Him today the great cross of the whole church. Today you are now being called to be immolated, that the plan of the Father may be fulfilled. Have confidence and hope, have courage and patience. The hour of justice and of mercy has begun, and soon you will see the wonders of the merciful love of the Divine Heart of Jesus and the triumph of my Immaculate Heart. And so, from the Kovada area, where on the 13th of May, 1917, I came from heaven to reveal myself to you and to walk with you together with my Pope, the first of my beloved sons, I bless you all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Hour of the Holy Spirit. Blumenfeld, Germany, May 30th, 1982. Feast of Pentecost. In the cenacle of my Immaculate Heart, prepare yourselves to receive the fire of the love of the Holy Spirit, which will lead my church to Eve, the joyous moment of its Pentecost, and which will renew the whole face of the earth. This is its hour. It is the hour of the Holy Spirit, who from the Father and by means of the Son is given to you ever more and more as a gift, as a sign of the merciful love of God who wants to save mankind. By the fire of the Spirit of love, the work of the great purification will be quickly accomplished. The church groans as it awaits His merciful work of purification. Through interior sufferings and by means of trials, which will bring it to relive the bloody hours of the Passion through which my Son Jesus lived, the church will be led to its divine splendor. It will be healed of the wounds of error, which has spread like a hidden cancer and which threaten the deposit of faith. It will be cured of the leprosy of sin, which obscures its sanctity. It will be purified of all those human elements which separate it from the spirit of the gospel. It will be deprived of its earthly goods and purified of many of its means of power, that once again it may become poor, humble, simple, and chaste. In its pastors and its flock, it will again be crucified, that it may give perfect witness to the gospel of Jesus. Through the power of fire and blood, the whole world will also be renewed. Humanity will return once again to the glorification of the Father through Jesus, who will at last have established His reign in your midst. This is then the hour of the Holy Spirit. He will come to you in all His fullness by means of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, His most beloved spouse. In you the Mother is glorified. Split, Yugoslavia, June 19, 1982. Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Enter into the refuge of my Immaculate Heart. This year I have called you from every part of the world, and you, my little ones, have responded with generosity and have entered into the garden which your Mother has prepared for you. You have listened to my voice and you have accepted my call. And now, through you, I have formed my victorious cohort. With how many snares has my adversary sought to impede your response to my anguished appeal? He has not succeeded because I have always intervened to defend my plan of love. Thus, despite all the snares of Satan and the difficulties that have been encountered, my call has gone out to the very limits of the earth. And from the five continents, my children have hastened in very great numbers to enter into the secure refuge of my immaculate heart. Today I gaze upon you with delight and love. In you the mother is glorified because I am able to offer you all to the perfect glorification of the Most Holy Trinity. Thus, in these times of rebellion against God through you, the mother can offer her hymn of glory to the Lord. Not to the great or the powerful or the rich or the proud is it given to understand my voice and to penetrate the mystery of my heart. It is granted to the little, to the poor, to the humble servants of the Lord. With them I have formed my cohort. And now the time of preparation is complete. Now we must enter into the moments of the conclusive battle. Humanity has reached that time when it is to live through the bloody hours of the great scourge, which will purify it through fire, hunger, and devastation. The church will be purified by the blood of Jesus and by your blood and by the fire of the Holy Spirit, and it will be totally healed of the wounds of infidelity, of hypocrisy, of impiety, and of apostasy. The time has come when the task which the Most Holy Trinity has entrusted to my immaculate heart in this age must be acknowledged by the world and the church. I embrace you all and bless you. The Secret of My Immaculate Heart, Valdragon, San Marino, June 30th, 1982. Spiritual Exercises with the Directors of the MMP. Beloved sons, I have brought you again up this mountain for a week of continuous cenacle with me, your heavenly leader. I want to reveal to you the secret of my immaculate heart in order to have you share in the mystery of my maternal love. Never as in these present times has my heart trembled with a most pure love for those whom Jesus entrusted to me when I stood beneath the cross on which he was about to die. The church today has need to feel itself loved by me. Humanity today has need to feel itself loved by me. My poor, sinful, and wandering children have need today of feeling themselves loved by me. I want to love through you. I want to help humanity, the church, and all my children through you who are called to enter into the mystery of my immaculate heart. For this I am bringing about an even deeper union between my mother's heart and your hearts, my beloved priests. The luminous ray which shines forth from my heart will spread to all parts of the world. It will be like a strong anchor to which all will be able to cling with confidence in order to be saved at the moment of the decisive test. I want to suffer through you. I will expand your heart that you may also be able to understand the mystery of my motherly suffering. See if there is today any suffering greater than mine. My son Jesus is outraged, despised. He is again abandoned and betrayed by his own. The sacrileges which are constantly increasing make up a new crown of thorns which surround the tabernacle scattered throughout all parts of the earth. The church, his mystical body, is again scourged by division and threatened by error. Those children who are faithful are called to bear great sufferings and to endure insult and outrage on the part of those who do not listen to me. Humanity in rebellion against the Lord is rushing inexorably along the road of rejection of God, and this brings it to fall into the abyss of death and desolation. How many there are who are lost each day, swept along by the widespread and dangerous confusion. Share in my motherly sorrow, judge no one, condemn no one. Pray, love, carry the cross of this great suffering with me for the salvation of all. I am your heavenly leader. I am the woman clothed in the sun. I have gathered you together again in this cenacle, extraordinary for its graces, to obtain for you from the Father through Jesus the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He will complete in you the work begun by me. He will mold your hearts to the perfection of love. He will bring you to understand everything. He will strengthen you and give you courage for the supreme witness for which I, as a mother, have formed you. The times of the great trial have come. Go down from this mountain and spread throughout every part of the earth the light from the merciful love of Jesus, which today is being poured out upon all humanity by means of the love and the sorrow of my Immaculate Heart, in which I have enfolded you all forever. I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Instruments of My Mercy, August 13, 1982, anniversary of the fourth apparition at Fatima. Beloved children, I am turning my merciful eyes upon you. I am the Mother of Mercy, of fair love and of holy hope, and my Immaculate Heart trembles with preoccupation for you. How many dangers are menacing you, how many snares my adversary is setting for you. In this hour of his rule and his triumph, numerous indeed are my children who are exposed to the danger of being eternally lost. You see in what a grave situation you find yourselves today. Humanity has rebelled against the God of love and is walking along the road of hatred and of sin, which is put forward as something good through the means of social communication. You are living in a corrupted and unhealthy atmosphere, and you succeed with great difficulty in remaining faithful to the commandments of God, which lead you to walk along the road of love. Flee sin and live in grace and holiness. Thus each day the number of my poor children who allow themselves to be seduced by unbridled egoism, envy and impurity grows greater and greater. The easiest victims are those who are less guilty, are the young people whose unhappy lot it is to be living at this time when the world has become worse than at the time of the flood. That is why I feel that I am a gentle and merciful mother, especially to my young children, and I am sowing in their lives words of confidence and salvation. I am opening up their souls to a great thirst for good. I am opening up their hearts to the joyous experience of true love and self-giving. I am healing their numerous wounds while I encourage all those who are good to come to their help through prayer, good example, and penance. If you, my beloved children, suffer and pray with me, you will succeed in leading many souls each day along the road which leads to paradise. You then, O children, consecrated to my Immaculate Heart, must be today the instruments of my maternal mercy. How many souls go to hell because there is no one to pray and sacrifice for them? I said to Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia when I appeared to them at Fatima. Today I say, how many souls you can save from the fire of hell and lead to paradise if, together with me, you pray and sacrifice each day for them. It is above all in this, my merciful work of salvation and yours, that the triumph of my heart is being brought about. It will be saved. Nijmegen, Holland, September 8, 1982, Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. My chosen ones, remain about the crib of your infant mother. I will lead you to understand the secret of littleness and of spiritual childhood. I will teach you to walk along the way of humility and of trust. I will obtain for you the gift of wisdom of heart and of purity. Great joy fills heaven and earth today in the recalling of the birth of your heavenly mother. You too must share in this interior and profound joy. Today I bless each one of you who about my crib form a crown of fragrant flowers of love, of purity and of trust. You are living through tempestuous and difficult days. Men are withdrawing further and further from God and their hearts are being closed in the chill of egoism and hatred. The world in which you are living has become a cold desert. But over this world of yours, there throbs my motherly and immaculate heart, which beats with love for all and is ever causing the dew of grace and of mercy to descend upon the earth. Thus, I am able to cause the parched hearts of so many of my children to open up to love. It is through you that I will be able to bring to fulfillment the loving plan of salvation, which has been entrusted to me by the Most Holy Trinity. You will see a new birth of this poor humanity in its complete return to the God of salvation. You are here today holding a cenacle with my chosen ones in this land where the great contestation on the part of my adversary had its beginning. Here you see the church deeply humiliated and wounded, while an immense number of my poor children are confused and wandering. Satan may seem to be singing his song of victory, especially in this country, but from this place I have also begun my irresistible action. For this I am making use of all my little children who have said yes to me. Through littleness I will conquer the power of the great. With humility I will defeat pride. With docility all rebellion will be overpowered. You will be increasingly aware of my presence. A great force of reparation. Paris, France, September 15th, 1982. Feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. Today I bend with love over the sores and wounds of all my children. I am your sorrowful mother. My duty as mother binds me to you in a strong and personal way. As your joys increase my happiness, so too each of your sufferings brings new sorrow to my motherly heart. Today I see you all under the weight of an unspeakable suffering. See if there is any sorrow as great as my motherly sorrow. In a world where egoism and pride have taken the field, the most numerous victims are the innocent. Today they are killed by the millions while still in their mother's womb through the crime of abortion, which is now legalized everywhere. Why such cruelty? Why is such inhuman impiety so widespread in the world today? The blood of these innocent ones cries out daily for vengeance in the sight of God and causes wounds of deep sorrow in my motherly heart. Little children who are just opening out to life are being presented with absolute transgressions of God's law as values to be sought after. Young people are disoriented and deceived. Families bewail the destruction of their home life. The immense multitude of my poor children are hastening along the road of sin and perdition. See if there is any sorrow as great as mine. Above all, I look today with sorrowful apprehension at the church, especially entrusted by Jesus to my motherly action. I see how it is violated by sin, its unity shattered, profaned by sacrileges, its truth obscured. How many pastors are there today who no longer defend the flock which has been entrusted to them by Jesus? Some remain silent when they should speak courageously to defend the truth and to condemn error and sin. They tolerate to avoid risk. They descend to compromise simply to maintain their privileges. Thus, error is spread under the form of ambiguous formulas, and reparation is no longer made for sin, in a progressive apostasy from Jesus and from his gospel. Today, there is need for a great force of prayer. There is need for a great chain of suffering raised up to God in reparation. I call upon you, my chosen ones, and upon all the children who are consecrated to my Immaculate Heart, to unite yourselves to the sorrow of your Heavenly Mother, that what is lacking in the Passion of Jesus be completed in each one of you. I am the Dawn, Fatima, October 13th, 1982, anniversary of the last apparition. In the stormy sea in which you are sailing, hasten all to my Immaculate Heart. I came down from heaven to give you this anchor of salvation. Cling to the anchor which has been prepared for you by my merciful love. Come to me, children, never before so menaced by the cold of sin, by the torment of hatred, by the tempest of rebellion against God and his law, by the earthquake of moral disorder, by the danger of war, destruction, and famine. In this world, which has become worse than at the time of the flood, you are truly running the danger of being lost along the wicked roads of sin and infidelity in this life and the threat of perdition for all eternity in the next. How many souls there are, in fact, who go each day to hell because the request I made of you in this very place to return to God along the road of prayer, of penance, and of interior conversion has not yet been acted on. These then are times of chastisement and of salvation, of justice and of mercy. In view of these times, I have prepared a secure refuge for you, where you must gather together to be comforted and saved. This refuge is my Immaculate Heart. From my heart there issue, in ever-increasing reflected strength, the rays which come forth from the heart of Jesus, so that you may walk along the way of grace and of holiness, of love and of mercy, of truth and of fidelity. If the world is filled with the darkness of sin, these rays descend like a dew, and they urge it to open itself to the radiant noonday of its renewal. All creation will know the new and long-awaited time of its perfect glorification of God. If the church is, in its human reality, darkened and wounded, these rays will open it to the light of the gospel of Jesus, to the custody of the deposit of faith which has been entrusted to it alone, and to the full witness of its unity and holiness. I am the dawn which precedes the day. My light which shines out in the night, which still enwraps the world, is you who are consecrated to my Immaculate Heart, you who are totally entrusted to me, that you may listen to me and follow me. Increase in prayer, in humility, in suffering, and in confidence. Soon you will see the great day of the Lord prepared for by so much sorrow and so many tears, by so much love and so much hope, by many prayers and by unceasing suffering. From the Kovada area, on the 65th anniversary of my final apparition, which was confirmed by the miracle of the Son, I bless you all in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Obedient, chaste and poor. Rome, November 20th, 1982. Live in my maternal predilection, responding to my call for prayer and trust. Allow yourselves, beloved sons, to be formed by me each day. I want you docile and obedient to the will of the Father, in perfect imitation of my Son Jesus. For this you must always be obedient to the Church. The virtue which I love most in my priest sons is that of obedience. Today you must be an example to everyone by obeying with joy your superiors, especially the Pope. How is it possible that when he speaks today, he is no longer listened to by many, and when he gives directives, he is no longer obeyed? And it is sometimes some of my bishop sons and priest sons who are the first to disobey him. In this way, the Church becomes truly threatened in its interior unity. I want you chaste in mind, heart, and body. Through purity of mind, you will see the truth with greater clarity, and you will be always faithful to it. The gospel of Jesus will appear to you in all its divine splendor. Through purity of heart, you will attain perfect communion of love with Jesus, and you will be led by him to understand the mystery of his burning love. You will become truly able to love everyone, and the flame of his love will set you afire and transform you. Through purity of body, you will experience the joy of meeting me, and of being increasingly in communion with the heavenly spirits and with the souls of your deceased brothers. The power of the Spirit will transform you, freeing you of the many limitations of the flesh. And thus you will spread about you the light of divine grace and of holiness. Let celibacy willed by Jesus and ardently sought by the Church be loved, esteemed and lived by you. You will become the source of life for an immense number of souls, even of your own brother priests. Take courage, O dearly beloved sons of mine. Follow me along the way of hiddenness and humility. I want you poor in material goods and in spirit. Only thus will you be able to understand the anxieties and the sorrows of many people and share in the concerns and the sufferings of your poorest brothers, of those who have no work or means of livelihood, of those who are pushed aside and persecuted, of those who are considered as nothings, while they are for me most precious treasures. Whoever meets you must be aware of the presence of their Heavenly Mother, who through you again caresses and consoles, who again helps even materially, who encourages and saves, and who embraces races and defends everyone. My plan, December 8, 1982, Feast of the Immaculate Conception. I am your Immaculate Mother. Allow yourselves to be led by me, beloved sons, for the perfect fulfillment of my motherly plan. It is a plan of enmity. I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. Thus did the Lord speak of me, addressing himself to the serpent, when, by means of him, sin entered in at the beginning of the history of the human race. Enmity between me and Satan, between the woman and the serpent, between my cohort and his, between good and evil, between grace and sin. To walk along my way, there can be no descending to compromise with evil, because this road winds its way only over the terrain of enmity between these two opposed realities. My son Jesus becomes the sign of this contradiction and has been given to you by the Father for the salvation and the ruin of many. You are now living in obscure times because in all kinds of ways an attempt is being made to reach a compromise between God and Satan, between good and evil, between the spirit of Jesus and the spirit of the world. Many are running the danger of becoming victims of this general confusion. And even in my church, a false spirit, which is not that of Jesus, the Son of God, is seeking to spread itself about. Like a cloud of invisible poison gas, a spirit which jumbles the things of God with those of the world is expanding and succeeding in depriving the word of God of its vigor and in despoiling the announcement of the gospel of its force. It is a plan of struggle, assisted by me and following along the road which Jesus has traced out for you. You must fight against the evil one, against sin, against error and infidelity. If by divine privilege I have been exempt from all sin, even original sin, it is because I have been appointed by the Most Holy Trinity as leader of this terrible battle, which involves heaven and earth, heavenly and earthly spirits. It is a great and continuous struggle, often invisible, and at this time it has become general. In the apocalypse, I have been announced as the woman clothed in the sun, who will conduct the battle against the red dragon and all his followers. If you want to second my plan, you must do battle, my little ones, children of a mother who is leader. Fight against sin and against compromise with the weapon of prayer and of suffering, in hiddenness and confidence, in the humble fulfillment of your daily duties, in the perfect imitation of Jesus, and in poverty and contempt for the world and for your own selves. Join me in waging this battle each day. It is a plan of victory. After the present triumph of evil, which has succeeded in subduing the world, in the end, the victory will be solely that of my son Jesus. He alone is the victor. The outcome of the great struggle through which we are living will be his glorious reign of peace and of goodness, of justice and of holiness, which will be established in the world and will shine forth resplendently in the hearts of all. Thus will be brought to completion the plan of enmity, of struggle and of victory in the triumph of my Immaculate Heart. God is with you. December 24th, 1982, the Holy Night. A great silence enwraps the world. Darkness covers everything. Hearts keep vigil in prayer and expectation. A sense of confident hope opens the doors which have been closed by hatred and egoism. The powers of hell feed themselves unexpectedly, overpowered by a new force of love and of life. In the darkness, a brightness is enkindled. In the silence, the harmonies of celestial hymns are heard. And in the heavens, a great light suddenly appears. This is the holy night. This light now enwraps the poor shelter where the greatest event in history is about to take place. The Virgin Mother gives you her child, who is born poor and defenseless, trembling and in need of everything, weeping and tender as a lamb, who is to make visible, already in his little body, the great mystery of meekness and of mercy. The life of every man takes on a new meaning from this night, because the little child who is born is also his God. He is man like you, and he is God with you. He is Emmanuel, prophesied for centuries. He is your brother. He is the heart of the world. He is the heartbeat of an immortal life. He is the caress laid upon every human suffering. He is the victory which covers over every defeat. He is the balm for the wound of egoism, of hatred, of sin. He is the light which shines resplendently forever for all who walk in the darkness. He is the only hope of this bewildered world. With the concerned voice of a mother who hears a thousand voices which still reject him and who listens with dismay to the sound of a thousand doors which are again closed, I say to you, do not be afraid, God is with you. Today there is born to you a savior for all. With a heart wounded by the great coldness which still permeates the roads of the world, and with a soul made desolate because of this great rejection of God, which has turned the earth into a great desert, in the face of such vast hopelessness, I say to you again, do not be afraid. God is with you. This is especially so today when you are being called to live through the painful moments, when it appears that my adversary reigns in the world as he spreads his deadly poison in the hearts of men. In the face of such suffering, which cannot be assuaged, of such great slavery, which cannot be shaken off, of situations of injustice, which cannot be successfully healed, of dangers of war, which cannot be checked, of fierce threats which grow more and more ominous, on this holy night, here is the message which springs from my immaculate heart as a source of hope and comfort for all. Do not be afraid. God is with you. Just as the word of the Father made use of my humble ascent for his first coming into your midst, in the frailness of human nature, so now does my Son Jesus make use of my prophetic announcement to prepare his second coming into your midst in glory. Do not be afraid, O children, so exposed to dangers. With the triumph of my immaculate heart, Jesus will manifest himself to you in his glorious reign of love and of peace. Watch in prayer, December 31st, 1982, last night of the year. On this night, while the greater part of my children spend the last hours of the year in amusement and dissipation, watch with me, my beloved ones, in silence and more intense prayer. Prayer of thanksgiving for all the graces which, in this period of time, have been granted you by the Father, in the Holy Spirit, by means of my Son Jesus, and through the unceasing intercession of my Immaculate Heart. This world is at the mercy of my adversary, who is ruling it with his spirit of pride and rebellion, and who is leading an immense number of children of God along the road of pleasure, of sin, of disobedience to the laws of God, and of contempt for his will. It is immersed in the deepest of nights, and no beginning of a year can dissipate the great darkness in which it is walking. Indeed, it has been created for the glory of the Father. It has been redeemed and saved by the Son, and it continues to be transformed by the action of the Holy Spirit. Nothing can resist the power of the merciful love of God, which wants to transform this poor world into a new creation. And so the interventions of my Immaculate Heart will become steadily more numerous, extraordinary and miraculous. For this, give thanks with me to the Most Holy Trinity, which is making use of me, its little handmaid, to lead all creation to the perfect glorification of God. Prayer of supplication, to obtain from the merciful heart of Jesus days of peace and not of affliction, days of serenity and not of misfortune. There is a real danger of another war. Under the appearance of fragile promises of agreements, the most refined means of dealing death are being prepared, and humanity is being led along the road of hatred and of self-destruction. May your prayer obtain for all the grace which leads to the defeat of sin, and that concord which causes violence and terror to cease, so that universal peace in truth and justice may finally be yours. There is need of a great miracle. There is need to rest through the power of prayer, this miracle from the mercy of God. Only thus can salvation come to you. Prayer of reparation. Because the cup of divine justice is full, very full, it is overflowing. See how hatred and sin bursts all bounds. Today the majority of mankind no longer observes the Ten Commandments of the Lord. Your God is publicly ignored, denied, offended, and blasphemed. The day of the Lord is more and more profaned. Daily an attack has been made upon life. Each year throughout the world, by the tens of millions, innocent children are being slaughtered in their mother's womb. And the number of murders, robberies, and acts of violence and kidnappings are increasing. immorality spreading like a flood of filth and is being propagated by the means of social communication, especially the cinema, the press, and television. By means of this last mentioned, a subtle and diabolical tactic of seduction and corruption has found its way into every family. The most defenseless victims are children and youth whom I look upon with the tender preoccupation of a mother. Only the powerful force of prayer and reparative penance will be able to save the world from what the justice of God has prepared because of its obstinate refusal to accept every demand for repentance. Listen at least now to the voice of your heavenly mother. I need much prayer of reparation and suffering offered with faith. Pray your rosary always. Live together with me in trust and trepidation, because there are in preparation decisive hours which can determine the destiny of all humanity. I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.